This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It's Friday, 4th of June, 2021. So yesterday we see a pretty weak session in the U.S. equity market, and kind of interesting that a lot of the weakness was there prior to the strong data. And we, of course, are in an upside down world where the worst thing for especially highly valued stocks is a good economy because of the valuation indications or implications for multiples, et cetera. Peter, you had some interesting thoughts on our internal meeting on maybe some things that might have spooked the market earlier in the day. But I don't know if you share my assessment with why the day also sort of ended on the negative. You have a bit of concerns that the Fed is going to have to bring forward some of its eventual tightening language here.
Yeah, so sentiment in equities were particularly weak yesterday. I would say on the positive note, we haven't brought a slide with us today, but the European equity futures and equities in general actually pulled itself much higher throughout the session after some incredible lows, and it closed above the previous day's close. So it's that was a very positive. But the US, which was particularly in the technology part of the market, you can see slide three, bubble stocks down 3%, the crypto and blockchain. And I don't know whether it was the strong ADP, you know, lifting maybe the market's expectations for Fed will have to move before. You also had Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock, with his the big interview where he said that the market doesn't seem to be prepared for the inflation shock, which could come. And he's basically said if we've put ourselves in a position politically or policy wise where we have to move maybe too aggressive on climate change, and if we go all green too fast, it could surely create underlying inflation. So whether it was that or it was the craziness in meme stocks, AMC, where they had multiple trading halts throughout the trading session, whether it was that, I don't know. Tesla is also breaking down. That's the focus point on slide three. So I'm really encouraging people to be on their toes in terms of risk management into the to the close this weekend, because bubble stocks, crypto, and Tesla, that risk cluster seems to be accelerating again to the downside. And I think particularly for Tesla, that have been a couple of news bits out. So one of them is that they are losing ground both in Europe and China on market share. In a lot of countries here in Europe, they certainly are. And also on China, where the news flow has been negative for quite some while. And then the California regulator have been out saying that Elon Musk have been overpromising on its autopilot. So a lot of negative things. And I think if Tesla closes below 550 on the close today, I think we're setting ourselves up for a very interesting and volatile week in this risk cluster next week. So watch that.
Yeah, very interesting technical setup, as you point out there on that slide with that 550 level. Just to round out the reaction to that data yesterday, and just to recap briefly, so we saw the claims data in the U.S., another new low for the cycle, below 400K, that was approximately as expected. The ISM services, a new record for the 24-ish year old survey there, 64, and that was a record high again, slightly above. It's really hard once you get to these levels to continue to improve, so it's very impressive when you already had a 60-plus reading to see another one. Shows you that the opening up momentum continues. And then, as you mentioned, Peter, the ADP payrolls changed. That one was almost at a million jobs, so 978K, and that's several hundred K more than expected. I think setting up expectations and people needing to adjust their expectations for today's official non-farm payrolls risk or non-farm payrolls change after the April print of plus 266K looks like it may have just been a misleading or an oddity. And we could see some pretty big adjustments there. The expectations, 674K, we'll get to that. But I just wanted to point out that it's quite interesting that the mix in data reactions here. So we saw the dollar responding strongly to this input, as one might expect. But if you look at the actual moves in rate expectations, very modest stuff. Slide four. So the December 22 euro dollar fell, let's call it a couple basis points, only back to where it was a little more than a week ago. And the US Treasury, 10-year Treasury future, sort of a similar reaction. So hardly any gains in yields. I don't know if they're waiting for today's official release for confirmation, but it seems to me to be a pretty weak reaction. And I want to get to you, Ole, in a second, but I just wanted to round out the reaction. So a bit stronger, as I said, in the dollar. You can see on slide five, Aussie dollar dropping finally out of the range. But we've seen so many of these moves. For those like myself that like to look for trending moves, things getting going in a directionally. We've seen so many of these one-day moves that just, peter out, within hours of the next day and mean revert. So we really need to see how the quality of the data today, and if we get some follow-on action to develop some real momentum in what has been a completely momentumless chart, if I can coin a new term. And note at the bottom of the range there on slide five for the Aussie dollar this year is towards 75.30. And that's also where the 200-day moving average is coming in. And you can see the latest trend readings on slide six. And I'll get back to that actually in a second. But I wanted, speaking of Aussie, we saw, and I regret we didn't have you on the show yesterday, Uri, because you were saying, you know what, this copper chart or this copper needs to come down a little bit. You were noticing some indicators that you believed suggested we could be in for a correction, and lo and behold, we got a pretty stiff correction yesterday.
Yeah, metals, they really lost momentum almost across the board. We saw the the ADP was really the number spooking the market, and it's once again the taper worries. And as you can see on slide seven, gold take that first broke below its 21-day moving average. That's basically signaling loss of momentum. That has already occurred in silver, so we're into that consolidation phase now. And I think the reaction in copper was a couple of things. Signs of a slowdown in China has started to emerge. The premiums that you are paying for copper in China over the LME is down to a four-year low. Speculators, that's more or less, they've chopped their position by 64% from the highest last year. And there are other signs also that at least the short-term outlook is not as price supportive as the potential the longer-term outlook, which where we still see a very, very strong demand at a time of inelastic supply supporting the price higher. But you can see we're in this, just the latest uptrend from October is obviously going all the way back to the low point in last April. But just looking at uptrend, potentially right now, focusing on that support level of around the 440 area, that's the one that we were talking about this yesterday morning, and we are getting close to that today. If we break below the 200-day or the 50-day moving average, then we will be potentially revisiting that trend line, taking us down to just below 425. But I just view this as a healthy correction. The copper has been on the move for a long time, and we also have to remember taper worries is sending a signal to financial investors, and a lot of the price action we have seen or are seeing in commodities are driven by financial investors, not end users. So these headlines where we see weaker or stronger dollar and higher bond yields will impact across the board. So we'll see today's number, but I see both gold and copper as a consolidation / correction phase, still looking for higher prices on both.
Yeah, and I imagine that part of that is, of course, the dollar prompting some of the move there. And if we go back to slide six, so you can see the euro dollar there. And, you know, you talked about a healthy correction in copper. This has been in need of correction as well, with some backfilling here. And I would put focus on the 120 level as where sort of the bulls need to take a stand if this is going to continue a bit lower, as a place for us to look for support coming in. You see the 200-day moving average is actually below that, but that's not been a very good indicator for your dollar for some time. And then on the trends, note the huge momentum shift in the dollar here, obviously with a day like we saw yesterday. And then just briefly, if for those that are interested in what all these trend readings are, got a question from a listener yesterday, and I posted both a question and a somewhat long answer on slide 14 in the appendix for those that are curious about these trend readings. So, and then to round out the commodity space, Ola, we have there was considerable interest in this, the UN's price index release yesterday. Take us through that.
Yeah, we had the monthly food price index released by the UN FAO. It's released the first Thursday every month. And we saw another surge in May. You can see there on the left-hand side, which is basically reflecting of the five baskets that they're tracking, 95 price quotes in total. So it is quite a wide variety of food prices they do track. So it gives a good idea about the general direction. And the year-on-year rise is now all the way up to 40%. You can see it's led by oils. And if you look on the right-hand side, these are the actual performances by some of the by the different three sectors: livestock, grains, and softs through the futures market. And you can see the grain market is again the one that's really sticking out. This is a worry for poorer nations, depending on the import of food, especially at a time where they're already struggling, fighting the pandemic impact. So we are getting close to levels that by the UN is described as being worrying. And that means basically the next few months here, there will be an intense focus on weather developments across the Northern Hemisphere, just simply to see whether we can get a decent crop production this summer that could alleviate some of the worries into the next winter.
Key stuff. And sort of staying in the commodity space, but over to you, Peter. You've put together a slide. I think you're referring back to your post from yesterday on the so-called old oil and new oil, and I guess a green transformation perspective. So what's your focus here?
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on the podcast comments we had the other day, where we talked about, you know, the oil industry and whether it was getting at the interesting levels, because we had several clients mentioning the valuation levels. And I had a look at it at slide 9, and it is correct that the global MSCI World Energy sector has gotten to some of its cheapest levels against the overall market. But actually, if you look at it in an absolute terms, so against itself, as you can see, it's not particularly cheap. It's actually above the long-term average. And it's the current forward valuations are actually higher than the period from 2005 to 2012, when you had the very high oil price and very good return on capital metrics, which is not the case at the moment. So, and as I said before, I think the outlook for oil is so uncertain with the whole move on ESG and, you know, Dutch court ruling on Shell, et cetera. I know they're fighting back on that, but I just think the uncertainty around the world energy sector makes it very difficult to be, I mean, too positive. And at the same time, the clean energy industry is also experiencing its second collapse that we have talked about. So that's not easy either. So maybe the attention should be on what has been coined by several other investment banks, a new oil, which is copper. And Ole has talked a lot about copper in the past year. And so I digged into the theme as well yesterday from the equity side. I've created this little table, and that's basically the overall objective of this slide 9 today, is just to point everyone's attention that the intensive use of copper in these new technologies that will be part of the electrification will drive demand for many decades. And I think it's worth having some thoughts about this. And I've just, you know, the table shows some of the publicly available copper miners in the world.
Cool stuff. And then earnings, there's no earnings of note today, so we don't have that on the slide, but you have a wrap on what we saw yesterday, a couple of interesting names. And I liked your comment on the morning call with the so-called lockup stocks and the fact that some of these are not falling as one might have expected with the opening up.
Yeah, exactly. So the Lululemon, we would have expected to see more headwinds when the economy in the U.S. would open, but that's not seem not to be the case. I mean, they're just seeing blistering growth, and they're raising their forecast for this year. The same goes for CrowdStrike, the cybersecurity companies. So as I said in the internal call, John, I just still think that we are underestimating how much of this income boost that the U.S. government have done to the economy, how much of that will continue to fill into the corporate sector. So it looks good for now. So very strong earnings for these two companies.
All right. And that takes us to the macro calendar. And this is where it gets interesting, because I think what we really need to see today, if yesterday had meaning from the data, is strong follow-on data here, a big change in the non-farm payrolls as a test for this market, and whether these Fed expectations will shift more notably, because yesterday's reaction was not save for the dollar, which was quite significant, and I think reflected in some cases the fact that the dollar charts have been bogged down. But we didn't get much out of the rates reaction, so I want to see that test, and I hope that we do see a really good payroll change for that test, and then we can round up what's going on Monday there. And then note next week a couple of things: the China's May PPI figure. This is a key global indicator on inflation. It's expected, and this it could be prove the cycle high for now. It's expected as 8.4% year on year versus the 6.8% we saw in April. And then the following day, we have the US May CPI expected at 4.6%, a new multi-decade high on the headline. And for the core, 3.4% likewise would be a new multi-decade high. And again, could prove the briefly at least to the high for the cycle here. And then I think one of the things we need to track politically is the Biden administration's ongoing efforts to try to appeal to bipartisan efforts for putting together some kind of infrastructure deal. So it looks like there's a $1 trillion infrastructure only plan in play here versus the $1.7 trillion previously bandied about, some of which was not really infrastructure, but regardless, and that the Biden administration is willing to go forward without any notable tax rises on the corporate tax side because Republicans have declared that a non-starter. This is just an interesting one to watch. If the Republicans prove too difficult, we could actually think we could risk seeing a larger infrastructure bill with more social spending because then the Democrats will sort of give up and shrug their shoulders and walk away and come up with their own thing that they can actually pass, and at least on the spending side with a so-called reconciliation tactic. So I think it's worth watching, as Peter mentioned, for, you know, to what degree we're going to see these continued, transfer payments to the lower end of the K, so-called K in the recovery. If that all comes to a screeching halt, then you have the risk of a hangover and of a pretty steep slowdown in some of the metrics as we go into the fall. I think I'll round it up there. Have a great weekend. Let's see what this U.S. jobs report brings us in terms of the quality of the data and the market reaction. And we'll round it up, of course, on Monday with the next Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter @SaxoMarketCall or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.